So a number of years ago, some psychologists from Indiana University gathered together to do a study on the effects of gratitude. Now, they looked around the world of psychology and they said there's actually lots of studies that have been done on the effects of gratitude, but most of these studies have been done on people who are already relatively healthy. So they said, we're going to do a study that monitors the effect of gratitude on people who suffer from poor mental health. So they gathered a few hundred people together and separated them into three groups. All three groups got the same level of counseling. The first group was asked to weekly write a letter of gratitude to someone in their life. The second group was asked weekly to write and reflect on a negative experience in their life. And the third group was asked to do no writing at all. It was kind of a control group. And they let this experiment go on for a number of weeks, and then they measured the results in terms of mental health, how people were feeling subjectively about their mental health, and also some testing to see how they were really doing. What they found was that the group that practiced these gratitude letters experienced a heightened degree of mental health. Their mental health improved at 4 weeks after this experiment ended and at 12 weeks after this experiment ended. And they picked out four key lessons from this study that they observed by doing this experiment. Number one was that gratitude unshackles us from toxic emotions. Gratitude unshackles us from toxic emotions. So when these people were focusing less on what was going wrong and the negative things that were happening in their life and more on the things that they had to be grateful for, they were able somehow to take their focus off of those negative things and put them on the positive thing in a way that actually lasted. Number two, they found that gratitude helps even if you don't share it. So what that meant is that they found that 25% of the people who wrote these gratitude letters actually sent them. 75% of them wrote them and then just left them in a drawer. But all 100% of them experienced this benefit to their mental health because they had taken the time to write this letter. Number three, gratitude's benefits take time. So in other words, they didn't really notice a difference between any of the three groups in the first week or two of this experiment. But as time went on, they started to notice that this benefit started to take hold, which leads to the fourth one, which is gratitude has a lasting effect on the brain. So what they found when they monitored these people who had written the gratitude letters and actually imaged their brains doing certain tasks, they found that the mental health improved like this. It didn't spike and then come down again. It actually went like this at 4 weeks after, and then at 12 weeks after, it was continuing to rise. This benefit had a long-term kind of effect. Gratitude is very important. It's been proven through these kinds of studies over and over again, and yet we often forget to be grateful, or we don't take the time to express gratitude. And so that's what I want us to do today, is to actually stop and to think about the things we have to be grateful for. Now, why are we doing this now? Why don't we do this on Thanksgiving Sunday, for instance? A couple of reasons. The first is, 2 years ago, I did something on a Sunday morning that I thought would become a bit of a tradition for us, and then COVID kind of wiped it out last year. So I'm trying it again this year. And that is, in the last Sunday of the year, or the first Sunday of the year, we pause and reflect on gratitude, what we have to be grateful for. Now, why at this period of the time? Well, I think there's a few reasons why. One is, when the holidays are over, when Christmas ends and the trees come down and the lights go back in the box, there's kind of a bit of a letdown for many people. Like something we've looked forward to, something we've anticipated, the good times, probably some time off work maybe, and then it all ends. And it seems like there's a bit of a deflating kind of feeling. Couple that with January, for many people, is the most depressing month of the year. It's you know, just barely into winter, the days are short, it's probably raining here, and it just kind of feels a little miserable to lots of people. In fact, there's even the third Monday of January has become known as Blue Monday, which has been said that it might be the most depressing day of the year for some people, although some people claim that term was created by a company trying to sell something, so I wouldn't put too much stock into it. But nonetheless, there's this thing, Blue Monday, that's out there on the third Monday of January. It just seems like a dark kind of time. Then secondly, New Year's brings about New Year's resolutions for many people, right? And aside from the fact that these things don't usually work, what do New Year's resolutions actually put our focus on? They actually put our focus on the things about ourselves we like the least, right? I don't like how I look or how I feel, so I'm going to lose weight. I don't like how much time I spend in front of the TV, so I'm going to cut back. I don't like how intentional I've been with my kids lately, so I'm going to carve out more time for them. I don't like how productive I've been, so I'm going to get up an hour earlier. And it's good to have goals, of course, and to try and improve ourselves, but usually these resolutions end by Blue Monday when we've binged another season of The Office and we're sitting on the couch eating ice cream, and we feel guilty. So I would like to take this opportunity at the beginning of this year to focus on gratitude and to set the mindset for the rest of the year. Because we don't know what this year is going to bring. In fact, it might be harder than we thought it would be, right? We've reached 2022, COVID's still with us, and there's difficulties that might lie ahead that we can't even foresee yet. But we want to start with the right attitude, which is why we think about gratitude. And so our theme verse today is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's also our main idea because Paul says this so well. He says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances, the good circumstances and the bad circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, it strikes me that we spend a lot of time searching for God's will. Like, what does God want me to do? You know, what does God want me to do with my life? Well, here we're told what God's will is. It's to be grateful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I think when we look through psychology, when we look at the scriptures, and when we look at our own experience, there are two human tendencies that take our eyes off of gratitude. The first is when things are going really well in life, when we're experiencing success, when the things that we are setting our hands to are working out the way that we want, when everything's up and to the right, when we're experiencing good things, we can easily forget about God. We can become prideful, we can become arrogant, we can forget to pray because we think we don't need to. We can attribute our success to our own ingenuity instead of thanking God for allowing us to experience it. God warns the Israelites about this in Deuteronomy 8, right before they're going to go into the promised land, starting in verse 10. The Lord says, "When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Be careful you don't forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God." God's warning them, hey, when you become successful, your tendency as a human being is to forget about God. And you won't be grateful because you think you've achieved something on your own. And when things go well for us, we have that very same tendency to forget about God and focus only on ourselves. Now, the second human tendency is this: when things are going really poorly for us, when we've experienced loss, when we're going through a really difficult time, when there's relational conflict, when there's natural disasters, when COVID is still with us, when things are going poorly, we have the tendency to think that God has abandoned us, that he's no longer with us. And we forget about all the ways that he has been with us in the past. Psalm 13 is an example of this. The psalmist is crying out to God. It's actually David who writes this, and he writes very directly. He says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death and my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall." God, where are you? We can have this tendency to forget about God or think that God has forgotten about us, rather, when we're going through difficult times. And remembering God's faithfulness actually keeps us going. It heartens us to take the next step, to get up for another day and approach life and its challenges. And thankfully, David remembers that at the end of this psalm. He says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." He's remembering God's past faithfulness. There's lots of times in the Old Testament where the people of Israel actually set up something physical in order to memorialize a way in which God has provided for them. We see this in Joshua chapter 4 as one example. The people have crossed the Jordan River in a miraculous way. God parted the waters so they could get through. And Joshua commanded the priest to pick up 12 stones and carry them out of the Jordan River. And we pick it up in verse 19 of Joshua 4. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they'd taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we'd crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear your Lord, the Lord your God.'" So they set up this physical reminder of the way in which God had been faithful to them in the past so that they wouldn't forget. And we are prone to this kind of spiritual amnesia ourselves. So what I want to do now, I'm not asking you to go pick up 12 stones and build a rock tower, but I am asking us to reflect in very concrete ways on the ways that God has been faithful to us and why we are grateful to him for what he has done. So I'm going to ask you two questions, and I'm going to invite you either after I've asked each question or at the end to talk with your spouse or your family or grab a piece of paper and write some thoughts down about how it is that you're grateful to God. So the first question is this: how are you grateful for God's faithfulness in the last year? In 2021, when you look back at the year, how do you see evidences of God's faithfulness to you? Listen, you don't have to go with something super deep and profound here, but what are the ways in which God was faithful? So I'll share some of my examples with you. One, I think of our family vacation we took back in July. The four of us had the blessing of going to a family cabin, and the weather was great, and the kids loved the lake, and there was really good family memories there. And we took a few days in Kelowna, which was really fun, and we just enjoyed each other and built those relationships with our kids. I'm grateful for God's provision in changing circumstances. Jenny worked a couple of jobs last year, and in between, we weren't sure what the next job would look like, and God provided something that's working out really well for her and for us, and so we're grateful for that. I'm grateful for friends who share life together and pray for me, and I pray for them. I have a group of three other guys that we meet together. We try to meet once a month. We call ourselves book club. We don't read anything, but we talk about life, and we pray for one another. We hold each other accountable, and it's a lifeline for me. I'm thankful to be watching my kids growing up and mature and making friends and embracing school and growing in their faith and asking some of those tough questions that 8 and 7-year-olds know how to ask. And it's really exciting to see. I'm grateful for how some of the COVID restrictions were loosened, at least for part of the year. And I got to attend sporting events, which I didn't realize how much I'd missed until I went back. I actually was supposed to take my son Josh to his first Canucks game in March of 2020. It was the very first one that got canceled because of COVID. And I got to take him in October to his first game, which is a really special memory for us. I'm grateful for God's faithfulness. I hadn't seen my brother in 2 years, and he had a chance to swing through town for 36 hours just a few weeks ago, and that was really, really meaningful for us all. So what about you? How are you grateful for the ways that God was faithful to you in the last year, the blessings that he brought your way? The second question I want to ask is, how are you grateful for God's faithfulness through COVID? How are you grateful for God's faithfulness through COVID? Now, this might be a bit of a funny question to ask because it can be hard to think of anything about COVID that we should be thankful for. And yet Paul writes, remember, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All circumstances includes COVID. I would sometimes kind of sarcastically when I was talking to someone, and sometimes people would say, I was supposed to go to this big thing that I didn't really want to go to, and then we couldn't, it had to be canceled because of COVID, and I'd say, another win for COVID, right? But what are some actual ways in which COVID was a blessing to you, in which God showed himself faithful to you? A couple of things that I would say is firstly, there are leadership lessons that I've learned and am learning that I maybe would not have learned otherwise, or at least learned as quickly otherwise. And that's not to say that it was always easy learning these lessons. I remember one day last year where I went away for a day or two of silence and alone time with God, and I didn't expect it, but I found myself just crying before the Lord because things were so hard. But yet through that, God has been showing me things about myself and showing me things about leadership that I need to learn. And that's a gift. So I've been learning about how I handle conflict. I've been learning what I do when things are uncertain and when there's fear. I've learned that when things are ambiguous, I can actually tend to step back rather than step in, which is not exactly the most helpful response. So it's good for me to know that that's what my tendency might be. I'm learning to be less reactive, I think. I'm learning, at least I think I'm learning, that I don't have to get so dragged down by the opinions of other people, that if someone disagrees with me, it doesn't mean that's a reflection on my identity. It's just the way that we process things differently as people. Talking with a counselor has helped me try not to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders, to realize that I cannot and will not please everyone with leadership decisions, and I'm not responsible for the reactions of other people that they choose. These are lessons that I'm learning that I maybe wouldn't have learned, at least not yet, if COVID hadn't come around. I'm thankful, too, for God's faithfulness to our family and the forced downtime that we experienced through COVID. I think of having church at home with my wife and kids. And when I'm here in the building in a Sunday morning, my family's here, but we're not really together because I'm talking with all kinds of other people. And so having those months where we could sing together in our living room and experience church together and talk about it, and my daughter could be dancing around the living room as we sang, those were special memories that I'll treasure. I'm also thankful that COVID caused some deep and serious reflection on the way the world works and the way that God works. And these reflections aren't always easy and don't actually feel complete because there's still lots of questions to consider. But COVID has given us the opportunity to think through those things as individuals and in community. So what about you? How has God been faithful to you as we've journeyed through COVID? What are you grateful for when it comes to this experience we've all had? I'm going to add a third category, and you can answer this question if you'd like, but I was thinking about God's faithfulness to our church, and I wanted to reflect on that for a moment with gratitude. This service is for January 2nd, Sunday, January 2nd. You might not be watching it on January 2nd, but that's when it is released. Did you know, I discovered this as I was looking through some old church documents the other day, did you know that January 2nd, 1947, 75 years ago today, if you're watching on January 2nd, was the very first meeting that determined that this church would exist? 30 men gathered together and decided to purchase this 5 acres on the corner of Ross and McClure on January 2nd, 75 years ago. The cost was $300 per acre. It was a 5-acre parcel of land. And in the coming months, many decisions were made about how the church building would be constructed. So on March 31st, families were asked to donate either 40 hours of labor or the equivalent approximate hourly wage, which was at that time 65 cents an hour, to start the construction of the building. Over the next few years, this building went up kind of in fits and starts, and there's a record of a time when the church decided to borrow $7,000 for the construction of the building, and there's a note that one of the members was really opposed to this and was very gravely concerned that we would not be able to pay back $7,000 over the next 10 years. And yet they borrowed it, and God was faithful, and God provided, and God continued to provide. On June 13th of 1947 was the organizational meeting of East Aldergrove Mennonite Brethren Church, which is now Ross Road Community Church. There were 25 charter couples who started the church and gave sacrificially so that this work would begin. And now we stand here 75 years later, standing on the shoulders of those who have come before, grateful to them, but grateful to the Lord who sustained this work for so long and who continues to sustain this work and will continue to sustain this work even as we embark on new chapters. And so in the next few months before June 13th, which is our 75th anniversary, you'll hear some stories from time to time from people who have been around for a while, who saw some of what has gone on and how God has been so faithful to us. Now, that doesn't mean there hasn't been difficult moments. There's been plenty of those. But God has been faithful through all of those so that this church might exist to help people find and follow Jesus. And now we stand on the precipice of another building project. And the total number is not $7,000. We're talking in the millions, not in the thousands. And yet we stand looking backwards to see what God has done, and we look forwards and say, God will be faithful to us, and God will provide what it is that we need. And so in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this project, and actually at the end of the month, on January 30th, it's going to be our Pledge Sunday, where we're asking you to commit yourself financially to help with this project so that we can see what God will do as we renew our facilities, as we extend our impact into our community, and as we embark on the next stage of our journey together. So I'm really grateful for how God has been at work. And God has been at work even during COVID. We've had 29 people join the church as members. 12 of those have been baptized since March of 2020, and there's more waiting in the baptism and membership process. I'm thankful for how people have cared for one another well. That's one of the things that was hardest for me during COVID was knowing there's so many people that I could phone. I just couldn't phone them all, but I knew that that care was happening one person to another, which is how it should be in the body of Christ. People were generous of their time, of their energy, of their finances all the way through COVID. And I'm so thankful for our staff and for our elders. And there have been times where we've had to make decisions about what to do. Many of these provincial health orders that we've received over the last couple of years have been just detailed enough to give us a bit of a direction, but vague enough that we had to make decisions about how we were going to implement things. And we didn't always think the same things around the table of elders or a staff. And yet there was a trust that had been developed that allowed us to disagree with one another and still know we're pulling in the same direction. And I'm grateful for all of that. So God has been so faithful to us as a body, and he will continue to be. So with your family, maybe on your own, maybe with a friend, I want to invite you today to take that time to write something down, to share in a conversation the things that you're grateful for in the last year when it comes to COVID, and maybe even when it comes to our church. Now, remember at the beginning, one of the lessons that these psychologists found was that the benefits of gratitude don't take root right away. So if you do this once and then leave it alone, you probably won't notice much of a difference. So I want to encourage you, and this is why maybe you want to write something down, is to revisit this once a week for who knows how long you'll want to do it for. But bring these things back to the Lord. Add to the list as more things come up to express our gratitude to the Lord, because it keeps us rooted in him, keeps us remembering that we need him desperately, and also has these benefits to ourselves spiritually, mentally, and physically, and emotionally. So I want to close with a prayer from Psalm 136. Psalm 136 is a psalm that repeats the phrase, his love endures forever, over and over and over again. And as these words come up on the screen, I want you to, if you can, where you are, if it's not going to be weird for you to start speaking out loud as you watch your phone or your computer, I want you to say those words out loud, his love endures forever, every time we get to it as we read through this passage, which is really a passage of thanksgiving for what God has done. And what God will do. So here we go, Psalm 136, starting in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, His love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, His love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, His love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, His love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, His love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, His love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, His love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, His love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, His love endures forever. An inheritance to His servant Israel, His love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemy, His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, His love endures forever. Amen.